Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host Cody. Cody, how are you this fine Tuesday evening?
Oh, James, I'm great. We got to watch some live action football this weekend, which was different. I'm not going to say too much about it.
We're going to get into it, though.
We will. We will a little bit. It was just, it was their first game of the year. I was going to be like, it was rough to watch, but it was their first game of the year. I don't know if any of them one day might listen to an episode of the podcast and realize, hey, we're like, the quality of the game was a little rough. But
there were as highlights as there were in any game, and there were a few more mistakes than probably either team would have liked to have had. Mental mistakes, mostly, yeah. I would say.
Oh, 100%.
So, yeah, it's just good. They got to get a lot of new players on the team. They're going to gel as the season goes on, and it's going to look smoother and smoother. And our defending champion, Erie Express, look out for him, man. There's some talent on that team. There's some talent.
Listen, number 13 with the two big catches later on in the game, and number 0 with the ice in his veins. He liked that when I said that to him. He appreciated that.
Yeah, man. Jones.
Jones.
Yep. Jones with them picks, man.
Yep.
He was pretty serious. And you're right. 13 was high point in the ball. And really,
I didn't get his name, and I couldn't. All the players, for those of you that don't know, the Erie Express players wore their all red jerseys, which their all red jerseys have the name on the back of a player that died this past year, which is very unfortunate, very sad. But I don't know their names because they're all have the same last name. So I can't figure it out.
It'll be a little easier at the home game when they have their own names on the jerseys.
It will be. But it was a good game. Hey, Erie Express won by one. My boy Jake.
Yeah.
My boy Jake.
That's right. It.
Good kid.
We met some new friends down there too. Some friends that were family members of the Pittsburgh Saints team.
Yep.
I think we had the mother of Keyshawn, the linebacker, the middle linebacker for the Saints, sitting next to us. Really smart lady. My goodness. She really knew her football. I'll tell you what. I was really impressed.
It's the Pittsburgh thing, man. It's the Pittsburgh thing. Those ladies down there are born and raised football. Like, it's crazy.
They throw a flag and she's like, that's an illegal man downfield. He can't do that.
I heard that.
I was like, whoa.
Yeah, it was a fun time. So we got to go again. If you guys haven't seen the social media post before we get back into the whole Steelers by the Lake talk and Steelers talk and everything. We sponsor here at Steelers by the Lake. We sponsor a player by the name of Noah Wagers. And he's a good buddy of mine. He's actually dating my cousin's half sister.
It's your cousin, man.
I know. She's my cousin. She's family. She knows. And he's
right.
He's trying to be family. We'll see what happens. but he's a good kid.
He keeps a good behavior up. He might make it in.
He might. He's a good kid. He does coaching as well on the side and coaches for, I think, McDowell now, actually. I think like ninth grade football. I don't know. Anyways, so Erie Express is the local team here at Lake Erie, you know. By the lake, Steelers by the lake. We're by Lake Erie. Haha, got it.
There it is.
So
the explanation finally happens. On
I know.
Three.
And the logo. If you're watching on YouTube, in the logo, you can see the Bicentennial Tower, which is down State Street. So it was really cool. Again, shout out to Josh Marrow, our logo guy for sure for that one. But again, it was cool to watch the game. It was cool to see live action football again, for free for us because we're a sponsor player. Anyways, back to this whole long thing. James, how are you?
I'm fantastic, man.
I didn't forget
I'm
that.
Happy to be sitting here talking football again. Like you said, it was nice to see some football, get up close and personal with some of the players. And it's going to be fun to get to know these guys as the season go along here. But in players that we're going to get to know.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Important things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. DeMarvin Leal, the third round pick, did sign his rookie contract. So he's under contract
four
now.
4 years? 4 year deal?
4 year. All rookie deals are 4 years. The only
I don't know
one
why they
announced
it like that.
I don't know.
The rookie signed a 4 year deal. Well, was he going to sign something else? Because I wasn't sure. No,
there's literally no other option. It's the 4 year deal or it's nothing. So, the first round picks have the option for the fifth year extension, but that's a team option. It's correct. Not chosen by the player as to whether or not they're going to sign it. That's interesting. It's nice to know that he got under contract as quickly as he could, really. That only leaves Kenny Pickett and Calvin Austin III, which I would expect both of them to sign pretty soon here. Also, reportedly, DeMarvin Leal has gotten up to 300 pounds Must be that that's where he has decided he should be on his playing weight, which I guess I understand if he's planning on playing both defensive end and defensive tackle. If you're going to be the tackle, you don't want to be 284. You get pushed around too easy. So makes sense to me, but it seems like the man's got all the talent in the world. I was actually listening to a podcast from before last year's college season, and they were talking about the top interior defensive line draft prospects. And this was before this season happened, of course, and he had 8.5 sacks this last season. They said, no doubt, number one interior defensive lineman in this class is DeMarvin Leal, and both of them very definitively said this. This was Joe Marino of the Draft Network, and then Trey, who used to be of the Tampa Bay, reported on Tampa Bay, was on the Draft Network, and now he's with Pro Football Focus. So these guys, that's all they do is study film. Their only thing was they said he's kind of a tweener and he'd be best if he went to a team like Pittsburgh. And this was like a year before we drafted him. So pretty cool to hear that just kind of coincidentally. So neat. Nice to see he's taking care of his business and he's ready to go for the season here.
Absolutely. This was going to be the part in the show where we talked about the Erie Express. I don't know if there's anything more you want to talk about with that game or not.
No. No, I think we got them covered, man. It was a good time, and we all had a great time, just like I'm going to right now.
It was a great time. What are you drinking there, James? You're drinking cherry?
Yeah. This is Blake's Cherry Cordial.
Non-sponsor. Non-sponsor. Non-sponsor.
Yeah, non-sponsor.
Yet. That's what James likes to say about his Red Bull.
Yet.
Note, everyone, real quick, while you're listening or watching on YouTube or wherever you're hearing this, James did not crack open his weekly Red Bull because he already had two today. So,
and I'm out of yellow ones and I didn't want to drink a blue one on the show.
Fair enough. Hey, blue's in the logo. Just saying. Blue's in the logo.
It is. It is. I mean, it's going to be blue next week because I'm not going to go buy more of a different color.
Fair enough.
I have like a case and a half of blue right now. So
yeah, fair enough. So in other Steelers news, recently the recently released defensive back Bryce Watts, what did reach an injury settlement. So that was big news for Pittsburgh and that player specifically. So it must have been.
Yeah, that's good
enough.
News for him.
Yeah.
Good Sad. News for him because that means that the injury is something that's already behind him. So it must not have been too severe of an injury. That's great news for him. That means if something happens down the road and Pittsburgh loses another guy in that room, in the cornerback room, I wouldn't be surprised if they bring him back and let him try out some more. So,
yeah. No, fair enough.
Good news for the health of Bryce Watts.
Absolutely. And then in sad news, if you haven't seen already, this is just we're sharing this just strictly to make sure that the news gets out for you guys if you want to go look it up yourself and see all the stuff. But Dwayne Haskins toxicology report came out, and it is sad news. It's like worst case scenario. We don't even want to talk about it. It doesn't even matter.
Yeah, we're not going to go into any detail on this. So if you want to know any of the details, if you haven't heard it yet, literally just type his name in and I'm sure it'll pop right up. But it was bad news. It was what we did not want to hear.
Yeah.
Still sad regardless of what the toxicology report was. It's still sad that the young man lost his life way too young.
100%.
Way too young.
100%. So now we're going to move on to other news, but not Steelers news. We're going to move on to Browns news.
So, yeah, speaking of sad, these poor guys got to be sad. They got drafted by the Browns. rough way to start your career off.
Right? Yeah, I don't know. At least none of them are quarterbacks because they knew they wouldn't go anywhere. but we're going to go right down through this. The Browns' first overall pick was, I believe, early third round, 68th overall. And they selected a cornerback, like 90 degree angle corner. Martin Emerson with the 68th pick. Emerson sitting at 6'1", 201 pounds, had 50 tackles and three pass breakups in 2021. And he led Mississippi State specifically with 11 pass breakups in 2020. So,
yeah. So you're looking at a corner with good size, but not good speed. He's a 4.50 40 guy. So
we like
that
though.
Someone. Yeah. Well, honestly, I love it because this guy doesn't have much of a chance of being able to stick with either one of the wide receivers that we just drafted, let alone Deontay Johnson, who plays a lot faster than his timed speed. And Chase Claypool, who was what, like a 4.42 or 4.43 40.
Yeah. And so, he's going to outjump him, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, this gentleman's probably going to have a difficult time with our receivers, so that's great.
Yeah.
The second guy they drafted in the third round, only 10 picks later, and of course, this they didn't have a first-round pick for trading for Deshaun Watson. That was one of the things they gave up. Also didn't have a second-round pick. I believe that was also part of that deal. I know they gave up a first and second or first and third the first 3 years. So I think that those were the two this year.
Yep.
Defensive end Alex Wright out of UAB, 6'5", 270. So he's a 4'3 end, not an outside linebacker at all at that size. In a similar size frame of what you're looking at, Miles Garrett, but not the athleticism that you have with him.
What size did you have for him?
6'5", 270.
Okay. I just want to make sure that was what I had as well. So,
yeah, I think we have the same resource pulled up, to be honest with you.
Probably. No, that's fine. but he did record 12 and a half sacks and 91 tackles across three seasons at UAB, including 46 tackles, 7.5 sacks, and 2 forced fumbles just last year. So that's a fairly good stat line for coming out of a school like that. It's not super big, but he had his opportunity to go up against a couple teams that were, you know, if I remember correctly, they played some better teams, so that's impressive. But he was also the Pro Football Focus Conference USA Defensive Player of the Year and second team All Conference USA selection. So those are notable as well.
Yeah, so a guy with a little bit of pedigree that they're going to probably look to compete with. Recently signed Jadeveon Clowney on the position opposite Miles Garrett.
I expect him to be in rotation fairly quickly with them.
You would think, because Jadeveon, they keep on signing to one-year deals, and it makes sense. It's not like he's going to magically go back to his prime self. And even his prime self, I think he only broke double-digit sacks like once in his entire career. So he always was an explosive athlete, but never a real productive one. Kind of the exact opposite with the Browns wide receiver that they drafted in the third round. Very productive wide receiver, but not a very explosive one. So he's a 4.7 40 guy, but 1,200 yards and 93 receptions in his last year. So definitely a guy that has a lot of production as far as catching the ball and moving the chains, but not somebody that's a burner, not somebody that's going to torch you down the field, a possession guy, kind of a similar mold to Jarvis Landry that they just lost in free agency.
Yeah.
So.
He was the player that during their shortened year because of the pandemic was selected first team all Big Ten selection, in that being in 2020, when he caught the ball for 625 yards and 8 touchdowns, again, in only 6 games. So that's pretty impressive. Some high quality numbers there. But again, who knows what players opted out, or I don't know how that worked at the NCAA level or not, if they were playing different teams than they normally would or what.
A receiver with 4.7 speed doesn't scare me, because one thing our corners have is decent size and physicality. So like Cam Sutton can cover a guy like that, so can Levi Wallace, and I don't fear that for Akilah Witherspoon either. So
I don't fear that for Arthur Mollett.
That's good.
I don't fear that for any of those guys.
If Mollett even makes the team, bro.
True. There's a number of guys that could be ahead of him. Justin Lane.
Yeah.
Justin Lane.
James Pierre could probably cover this dude.
You're not wrong. Justin Lane and James Pierre both. More Justin Lane than James Pierre, I think. Sorry to talk about Steelers news while we're going over the draft for the Browns. But have a better chance.
I don't think anyone's going to complain.
No, I know. I think they have a better chance of making the team just specifically for their ability on special teams and gunner position.
Yeah.
Justin Lane does a really good job.
Of the two, it's Lane, right? I mean, Lane was the special teams gunner ace. It wasn't James Pierre.
Yeah.
So, plus, he's on that rookie deal still. So, that's cap friendly.
True. The next selection they had was a big one for James, as it was someone that he would have been fine with Pittsburgh taking in the second round. So,
yeah. Yeah, Perrion Winfrey out of Oklahoma. They used him as a nose tackle a good portion of his career. When what he really is a pass rushing specialist, as a 4-3 interior defensive lineman, would fit real well with a nickel defense, pushing the pocket inside there. Very quick first step. honestly, I don't know how in the world he lasted into the fourth round. But when Pittsburgh passed on him in the third round and took DeMarvin Leal, I was like, dang it, I really wanted Perry and Winfrey. And then the Browns took Perry and Winfrey, and I was like, that's going to be their best draft
pick. Best draft pick, draft right hands there. Down.
Yeah.
I want to talk specifically, and this is mostly because we've talked about him. We've mocked him in drafts. James talked about him a lot. This guy's work ethic, his mentality at the bare minimum, is amazing. In an interview, he was quoted saying, I'm going to come in and work every single day until I can't work anymore. They will feel me every single day, sir. I'm going to give it my all on and off the field. Anything that is negative in my game, I will turn it into a positive by the beginning of the season. I'm very interested to see how this plays out for him, but you got to love that mindset.
Yeah, and honestly, when he went to the Senior Bowl, all he did was just kick the tails off of everybody that he went against in one-on-one drills.
Yep.
So he's going to be a handful. I'm very glad that Pittsburgh invested some money in some talented interior offensive linemen, because they're going to have their hands full with him.
Could you imagine how bad it would have been had they got Perry and Winfrey and the Ravens had gotten Jordan Davis? Four times a year. Oh.
And it compound it and imagine we didn't pick up Mason Cole and Kendra Green gets the start at center. Yeah.
It wouldn't have been pretty. It still might not be pretty. We're not sure. Well, we don't have to play the Eagles twice a year, and they got Jordan Davis, so that's cool.
Yeah, we'll get them though this year.
We will. And we'll get to the Ravens draft highlight for later on next week's episode. We'll be talking about the Ravens draft class because we're going down through the standings minus Pittsburgh of our opponents, our conference or our division rivals, and the Ravens are at the bottom. So anyways, next player
sucks to be the worst.
Sucks to be the worst. Next player is a person that still matters, because we have one on our team that matters, is the kicker. The Browns took a kicker by the name of Cade York with the 124th pick in the draft this year, and he's actually from Texas. Texas boys can kick. I don't know what to tell you. But he was regarded as one of the top kicking prospects in the draft class. So he converted 54 of 66 field goals in three seasons at LSU, including 15 of 18 field goals in his final season. So it's not pretty bad. And he only missed four extra points his entire career, 164 to 168.
That's really good. So he's a real accurate kicker and apparently made 15 of 19 attempts of 50 yards or more.
Yep.
So that's pretty significant. He's got a decently strong leg as well. So the Browns kicking game is back. I know they struggled with field goal kickers for a number of years recently, but I would bet that that's probably going to be fixed. It's a good investment, honestly.
If
you can get a starting kicker and it's a high caliber one in the fourth round, that's a great move in my book.
100%. And we talked about it. I mean, we talked about it when we were talking about Presley Harvin. You know, drafting a punter even in the draft can be fairly important if you think he's going to be good enough. And then York also, he's the proud owner of LSU's longest field goal, which was a 57-yarder in the fog against Florida in 2020.
Do we even know if it went in, if it was in the fog?
I don't know. Maybe.
I'm going to bet he missed it.
Have you ever seen the movie The Fog? Have you ever seen the movie The Fog?
No.
I wonder if the ghostly people from The Fog, like, helped it go in. Just making something really up now. I'm tired. We're going to go off the rails today, James. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. Yeah. Been some long days at work lately.
Yeah, we both put in at least 11 today. No, yeah, I was 11 today. Yeah,
I had 11 and I had 11 yesterday too. So. So next pick the Browns had, the fifth round, was running back Jerome Ford out of Cincinnati. Kind of an explosive guy at 5'10", 210 pounds. This really kind of looks like the writing's on the wall for Kareem Hunt now.
Yeah.
There were rumors that the Browns weren't going to keep him after this upcoming season, and this was going to be his last season. That kind of looks even more certain at this point. So I would look for them to probably try to work him in. For some reason, Cleveland just has really good luck with running backs, even undrafted guys. So I wouldn't be surprised if they get some production out of this guy. Now we're going to start getting into the part of their draft class. A little bit less likely to make the team, a little less likely to be significant, but it looks like you might have more on Jerome Ford.
I just want to make a statement real quick. You want to know why Jerome Ford concerns me?
Why is that?
Who is arguably one of the Pittsburgh Steelers' greatest running backs?
Jerome Bettis.
And where did he finish his career?
In Detroit.
At Ford Field.
Gotcha.
I don't know. I'm just making connections with the names.
Oh, man. That was like a super stretch, bro.
That's okay.
You're just like, oh, look at this stretch.
Jerome? Jerome Bettis? Career? Ford Field? Ended his?
Oh, man.
You never know. I'm just making weird connections right now so that if things happen later on in his career, I can go back now and say, I called it. He's going to play for Detroit and win a Super Bowl. No, I'm just kidding.
That's a
farther stretch. That's a much further stretch.
You're like, I told you, Ford cars and this running back and Jerome Bettis. I told you.
Jerome Bettis is going to wind up. Nope, I can't go there. Hang on. That was going to be bad. Anyways, the next pick, the Browns select wide receiver Michael Woods II at number 202. Again, not a wide receiver that I'm super scared of, personally, at least. I don't know if you are. But nothing big for me there.
No, I mean, he's probably got a decent chance of making the team just because the wide receiver room in Cleveland's a little bit thin right now.
Non-existent.
So this is probably somebody rosterable. Not going to make big splashes, most likely. And I don't expect that out of the last two picks in the seventh round either. In 223, defensive end Isaiah Thomas was selected. And then at 246, center Dawson Deaton was selected.
Yeah.
So both these guys probably be on the bubble of the roster making the team. So you'll see something out of them in the preseason, I'm sure. But whether or not they make the squad, that might be a whole other story.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, the draft class for the Browns is meh, per usual.
Yeah, their best pick was definitely Perrion Winfrey. That's somebody that can make a real big splash.
Close.
Well, and I would say probably second was Cade York,
the
and
kicker.
If a kicker is your second best draft pick, then you probably didn't have a great draft class. So,
yeah.
But they could get a big splash out of both of those guys. Those guys could make a difference for them this year.
Yeah. So again, be sure we can't thank you guys enough for listening, watching, however you're doing it. Please reach out to us. Let us know what you like. Let us know what you don't like. We appreciate the constructive criticism and the feedback very, very much. James is pointing it out right now. Give those 5-star reviews wherever you can, specifically Apple Podcasts. James is all about that Apple Podcast. But if you're listening somewhere else, iHeartRadio, Spotify, if you can hit a review or hit a 5-star rating or anything that helps out the podcast, we greatly appreciate it. So again, be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Make sure you subscribe and ring the bell. It's free. And until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.